Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
Now, Rabbitohs-Panthers. Rabbitohs had this game to win. It was right there. It was right there. And, you know, we just talked about all that situation. With all that being said, unfortunately, Paolo, as a professional, he dropped a few balls. He bombed a few tries. They probably win the match if he does finish those tries. But in saying all of that, they also had other opportunities to win the match. So it wasn't just his opportunity to win the match. There were other ones to do as well. I personally, I think most of us would feel the same. We probably would have picked Isaac Thompson anyway in that wing position. I was surprised that he wasn't picked.
He was injured.
He was injured? That yes. Makes sense. Okay. Well then, basically, like, who else have they got?
Yeah, makes complete sense. Yeah.
Because when I thought it was crazy Thompson wasn't selected. I think he's been outstanding. So if he's injured, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, poor game from Junior Paolo, but I'm not
Jackson
Paolo, Junior, yeah. Paolo. Sorry. Sorry, Jackson. But there are other opportunities to win. They really were. So, look, it's really a weird one for me with the Rabbitohs, because you can look at it in one way. I thought they were really good. Like, I thought they were really, really good. I thought they created a bunch of opportunities, 5 line breaks to 0 in the first 20 minutes. But then you could look on the other side of things and go, well, they're actually missing Cleary, Luai and Fisher-Harris. Where do you land on?
Mate, I agree with what you just said.
I don't know how to look at it.
South Sydney were really good. Penrith are really fucking good, though. Yeah. As a system, their next man up mentality is just crazy. For years upon years, it's always been the Melbourne Storm that have been this side. It, without a doubt, is the Panthers now.
Mm. And like, this is what I meant like a few weeks ago. There was some people that had an issue with it. Well, they had issue with it after they lost, but I said, like, they're almost still favourites without Cleary and...
Mate, when I checked the odds and they weren't favourites, respectfully, Matty, I was surprised.
Yeah, I picked
I
them
really
win.
Was.
I picked
yeah.
them win.
I think they were like $2.30. I thought that was ridiculous.
And so, like, what happened? So we said that and we said, look, they're almost famous, if not still favourites to win, after they had that great win without Cleary and Luai. And then they lost against the Storm and there are a few comments going, oh, they're still favourites to win now. And, like... Again, like, until I see some more games where maybe they peter off a bit, I think they're that good that side absolutely has a chance to win the premiership without Luai and Cleary. Absolutely. Are they favourites? Maybe. But I think that there's still a premiership threat without Luai and Cleary. That's how incredible this side is. That's how incredible.
I would be so confident that team at least makes a prelim.
At least makes it. 100%.
Which is what the Melbourne Storm team that won 19 in a row did last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is amazing. This Penrith outfit is just whatever they've done out there. I feel like we speak about it every week, but I want to know. It's happened so quick.
Yeah,
they're unstoppable. They're so dominant. They just hang in games. Like, when you look at the amount of opportunities Rabbitohs had, and still the Penrith just hung in. And granted, it was some errors that, you know, like most other wingers or whatever probably won't make that error, but again, they still put themselves in the position for that to happen. You know, like, they could have not been in the game with 3 minutes to go. So, yeah, the Panthers are just looking super. Without Fisher-Harris as well, wow.
And, I mean, I feel like we talk about it every single week for the last 2.5 years. The stocks of Dylan Edwards.
Oh, mate.
I you know, every few weeks I sit around and I go, he's not overrated. He's not underrated anymore. Then he plays a game and I'm like, then he misses a game and then comes back. I'm like, you know what? Fuck, maybe he is still underrated.
Yeah. Mate, he is the glue to that team.
It's, I mean, you even have a look at, and I heard someone say, I'm not sure if it was you or who it was, but I heard someone say to you, which is a really good point, like against the Melbourne Storm, they didn't score any points, but the 16 they conceded, like the Brandon Smith try, like I have not seen a team score that a try like that on the Panthers in a very, very long time. And then Edwards comes back in and like, mate, I thought, you know, we'll talk about him later, but I thought some of the balls that Luttrell threw that led to nothing, just because their cover defense was so good. Like Luttrell was throwing 10 out of 10 balls that would catch out every other team in this competition. Penrith just find a way to scramble and make it work. And, you know, you can probably talk more about it to people, but like just how important your fullback is communication-wise.
Oh, it's one of the most underrated parts of Billy Slater's game.
I think it is the most underrated part.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Look, I think that Billy Slater's fitness is one of his most underrated. Like, people don't often talk about fitness as a weapon. Fitness is a weapon. Tedesco's fitness is his biggest weapon because he's constantly like, it's just, anyway, we'll get back to Dylan Edwards. No, you're totally right, because teams have become so slick that if you just once put one short man on a wrong side, they're going to nail you. Matter of fact, that's the team's whole goal, is to get the reason why teams, or some fans may ask yourself, why do they get to the tram line, they call it, or like 20 metres in? They get to these vague spots because they want the defence to go, ooh, do we need, it's just a little bit too big for three people, but we might be able to get away with three people on the short side. And then we can stack the long side, and then boom, before you know it, they go down the short side with three there. And then they, you know, the other side of it is they get to the middle and they put shape on both sides and they go, ooh, do we need to load one side? Do we not? And the hardest thing about the middle of the field is that, like, it is the attacking side has the most opportunity to do what they want. So you just don't know what's going to come at you. And if you don't have a fullback putting the right numbers on the right, because, like, not only is he getting numbers correct, he's making sure the ruck is sorted. Then he's making sure that he's got the right numbers on the left side. He's also, if you've got a guy like Billy Slater, for example, at the back, he can maybe identify, like, oh, I think that they may be, like, looking like they're going on this left side, but I reckon there's a shot happening on this other, the right side, the defender's right. And good, really good fullbacks do that. Really good fullbacks do that. And you notice it when you've got rookie fullbacks in there, all of a sudden the defense is a bit not as strong.
Yeah.
And
like, just being a fullback and working out that 10-man split and how it's going to work each time.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Massively.
Like, you see the third man in the Penrith tackle every single time. He stands up, and as he's walking back, you can see him looking at Dill.
Yeah, because he
knows. Tell me where to go.
And he's always
where
doing
do
these
you
ones.
Know that I need to be?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's so, and I mean, if you get out, you know, I had some mates at the South Penrith game the other night, and, you know, the first thing they said to me was, fuck, you can hear Dill the entire time.
Yeah, wow. Mate.
And that was the same as Billy. I remember when I used to go and watch him, like, whenever he used to play at the SFS during the season, they weren't a heap of people there. Just listening to him.
Yeah, constant.
It just doesn't stop. It must be exhausting just talking though.
Oh, mate. Absolutely. Like, it is so crucial. Like, Dylan Edwards, he's just so impressive. I'm stoked for him that he's finally getting a bit of appreciation. Like, I think he is becoming more, there's more and more people going, you know what, he might be a smoky for Dally M. I still think Hines will probably pip him, but he was on 13. I think Hines was on about 16 when they went behind closed doors, and I'd have to say Edwards has probably been Penrith's best all year.
I mean, wasn't it round seven? Dylan, Isaiah Yeo had one man in the match in 6 out of 7. And now we're talking about Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
Potentially, like, it's crazy what he's achieved this year. And, you know, we come in here every single week. I've got it in my notes. You've got it in your notes. When a fullback was caught out of position. When have you ever written Dylan Edwards caught out of position? Never. It never happens.
Literally never.
And he
never
puts himself in the front line all the time.
Yep.
But then he's on his bike straight away, just knowing where the ball's going to be and where he needs to be. He's incredible.
Which one? Which team? I mean, we'll keep talking about Penrith. Do you, like, it's almost, I sit here and I go, this team, it's scary to think of Cleary and Luai coming back and Fisher-Harris. It's almost like, fuck, who's going to beat this team? But obviously teams can beat them because, you know, the Eels beat them and, you know, Storm has taken it to them. And so teams can, but again, it's almost like, I don't know what the kind of explanation would be, but it's not you don't know what you got till it's gone, but it's provided us this, like, this team. Like, put it this way. Let's say you were outside looking in, and that was the team that they assembled for the season. And then they went out and bought both Origin halves and arguably the best prop in the comp. You'd go, that team's literally never going to lose.
Yep.
And that's who they have coming back into their side, is both Origin halves and arguably the best prop in the game.
And along with him being the best prop, he's the alpha in this team.
Yeah. He's one of the alphas in the comp.
Yeah, in the comp, but by far and away in this team. Like, I would say Isaiah Yeo is probably the leader of this pack, but he's the alpha in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a fair argument that that's almost more important. And, you know, you're like, clearly, like, we don't need to tell you that they're going to be impressive when they come back. But just for some context, like, if you ever look at the South Sydney outside backs and the amount of touches they had, AJ had 15, Isaiah Tass had 20, Campbell Graham 22, Jackson Paulo 19. So they're averaging about 20 touches, right?
Mm.
The Panthers, their touches, Brian Toto got 19. Outside of that, they were all below 15.
Wow.
So, like, you can see that, yes, Sean O'Sullivan and Jamin Salmon are doing a good job, but it's not as smooth as it usually is.
Yeah.
Their strike weapons, and, you know, I don't have it in front of me, all the numbers, but I would assume the vast majority of those touches are coming out of their own half. There was a lot of times where Jamin Salmon, he got tackled a lot of time with the ball in hand, which I'm completely fine with.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't on.
Yeah.
He's just happy to take that hit. But when you've got Cleary and Luai out there, and then all of a sudden Tungo, May, Brian Toto, Stephen Crichton are getting clean ball.
Yeah.
They're going to be such a handful.
Oh, mate.
Pair that with the best, like, is it the best defense we've seen?
The Panthers.
Yeah.
It's some of the best. Like, outside of, like, peak storm where you literally couldn't store, even the Dragons 2010 was pretty amazing.
Yeah, Dragons 2010's fair.
Yeah. Roosters back-to-back year, they were pretty incredible.
Like, this team, like South Sydney are humming at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got some of the best attacking players in rugby league as it stands right now. You know, 22 points. Like, I would say Penrith would be so disappointed with that.
Yeah.
It's not even funny.
Mm. Yeah. Look, it's just what they've got going out there is incredible. And they're not a powerhouse, as in, like, they are a powerhouse, but I can't see a future. And look, footy is... Look at the Storm.
Yep.
A week's a long time in footy. So imagine a year. But I'm trying to imagine a future where Storm, where Penrith don't win two or three comps in the next 10 years.
Well, Matty Johns said a few weeks ago that he thinks they'll win four in the next 10, I think he said.
Yeah.
And the comments were just unbelievable. And I was sitting there going, are you for real? Have you seen this team? We talk about all these superstars every week. They're 25 years old.
Yeah, and they locked the comp up. Minor prem's like pretty much 6 weeks to go.
And
pretty
then,
much.
Like we always talk about how good their attack is. They attacked dreadfully in the finals last year.
Yeah.
They still won it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a scary, scary prospect. And it's really exciting. It's, you know, it's actually great for rugby league because obviously, you know, Penrith and Western Sydney is like a heartland of rugby league. And I think it's something that's been missing for quite a while. It's like for a bit there when Queensland went on their dominant run, I think a lot of people look to Brisbane and kind of Queensland as like the heart kind of thing, because like Broncos were going well, Cowboys were going well. And like, I think the resurgence of Penrith is actually really good for rugby league because it's got this huge greater Western Sydney that has 2 million people in it. Like, it's important that the heartlands have sides that are up top, you know, because obviously it's 2 million people are living there. It's great for our game.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Like, for the last 15 years, everyone has wanted to play for the Melbourne Storm. None of these people are from Melbourne. Like, there's a tie to the club, but it's, if you're a kid growing up in Western Sydney and you've watched Luai and Nath and these guys come through that exact system all the way through, like, I just think it would mean so much more to you.
Yeah. Well, I've said it a few times, but the scariest thing about the Penrith situation right now is Melbourne did what they did in a non-footy team town. And so that's what makes it arguably the most impressive thing we've ever seen in rugby league, because they went down to Melbourne, barely anyone plays rugby league, no, barely anyone supports it. Obviously, they got their good, a decent fan base, but you understand, that's because they've won so much. Penrith Panthers are setting the same standards that Storm set, but they have the biggest rugby league nursery in the country. That's the scary thing. Imagine Melbourne Storm in Brisbane. Or Western Sydney.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's like Brisbane of the early 2000s. Like, we're just get any player they wanted.
Yeah.
It's
and I would argue just with social media and everything the way it is and the way that the Panthers do social media and their players do that, I think they're even more connected to their fans than any team has ever been.
Put it this way, Nathan Cleary is Joey Johns to a lot of young
kids. He is, and that sounds crazy to us.
Yeah, to us.
But he is.
He is. It's really, again, we are not saying that he has had the career Joey has or whatever, but Nathan Cleary to Western Sydney is Joey Johns, just like Joey was to the Newcastle Knights.
Just like community. Wally was to my dad, and I always sit there and go, are you for real?
Yeah.
How could you have Wally over Joey?
Yeah. It's
going to be
Nathan
the same
is.
In 20 years' time.
Absolutely. The next young guy or girl, because like eventually, like there'll be a young guy or girl that creates content that will come up, like take over me. You know what I mean? Mm. In the sense of like they'll create their own thing and they'll be appealing to the next generation because I'll be a little bit older. They'll be talking about Nathan the way we talk about Joey, the way we talk about Cam Smith, the way we talk about all those guys. And so the crazy thing is it's in the heartland of rugby league. So yeah, I'm excited. I love the fresh air that Penrith have brought into this competition. I know that they've got a bigger swagger and they're different and they got the boom box and some people don't like that or whatever. I personally like it. I think it's the energy the game needed. Now, look, would it piss me off if I was still playing and they were doing that stuff? Yeah, sure it would. Like, but in saying that, when I was playing, I didn't like most teams. So it's not like, it's not, you know, like, it's just the way it is. You're playing rugby league.
And I think we also forget, like, you know, if you were a huge fan of rugby league in the 70s and 80s, you know, like Peter Sterling was your halfback, yeah? All of a sudden, Joey comes along and, you know, this game's where he dyes his hair red to play footy. Like, tell me then that those blokes then would have gone, what is this fucking clown doing?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
It's the equivalent of Nath dancing on his phone.
Yeah.
It's the next generation. And there'll be stuff that we have got used to with Nath that in 20 years' time, Joe Blow will be doing it as a superstar of the game. And we'll sit there and go, what the fuck is he doing?
It's the one thing that I always, like when I was younger, I was like, and I'm sure everyone kind of promises themselves this, but I'm like, when I get older, I'm never going to hate on the next generation. Yeah. And I think I've been pretty successful at it. Like when I see the boys on TikToks and that, I think it's funny. Like it's would I ever do it? No, personally, I would never, you know, get up and dance on TikTok. But I also think fucking good on you boys. Like that's your generation and you guys find that fun and entertaining. Like great. Yeah. I'm there for it. I think it's great for the game. It means that we're identifying with the next generation. So the Penrith thing, I think what's also really interesting if you're a deeper thinker or whatever, what's really interesting about the Penny Panthers is they've proven that there are more than one ways to get this done, to get the premiership, to win the comp, the minor premierships. For how many years have we been basically saying it's the Storm? Mm. How the Storm do it? Coaches go to all different places and they go, we need to copy the Storm. We need to copy the Storm. And don't get me wrong, like the Storm. We'll get to the Storm because I personally think that they are one of the greatest sporting organisations the country has ever seen, seriously. But like the Penrith Panthers have proven, no, actually, you know what? You can be a bit leery and there's a way to balance that kind of character that they've brought in. So Penny Panthers fans, as we do every single week, be happy. It's incredible. It's amazing. And it's exciting to watch. It's exciting to watch. Now, on to the Rabbitohs. I am so torn what to take away from this game. I'm so torn. Because on one hand, I go, great performance. They're a premiership threat. I genuinely think that you can lock in, like there's a part of it that says you can lock in the Rabbitohs for premiership challenges. But then there's another part of me that goes, well, hang on a sec. They just played them without three of their best players. So I don't know where I stand with this. I think I'm leaning more towards the Rabbitohs are a genuine premiership threat.
Yeah, it's... When I think about premiership threats now, I'm more so thinking, who are they going to play in the grand final? That's sort of becoming my mindset, which is dangerous because that was my mindset with the Melbourne Storm last year, as we've said a few times. But fuck, South Sydney are entertaining at the moment.
Oh, my God. Probably the most entertaining in the comp right now.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Whether you love them, hate them, I don't care. They're entertaining.
Right. Latrell, he's got to have the silkiest hands we've ever seen for a big fella.
Some of those passes he was throwing the other night, you know, we were talking about it and, you know, he's obviously compared to GI quite a bit. Like, GI was never half this good with his hands.
Yeah, like GI still has the much better resume and all of that. You know, I still say GI is the greatest outside back of all time, like as in can play multiple zero. But I don't think he was this silky with his hands.
Ever.
Like, he was solid and I think, what did he win a... Did he win at Clive Churchill at six? For
he won at Clive at six.
But I don't think he was this silky.
That was brute power at six. Like that was
And that's what's scary with Latrell is like, this guy, I still don't think he's even close to his potential.
I remember when he moved to fullback a couple of years ago, I thought, okay, he's going to be a run first, occasionally pass guy. I couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah, he barely runs. Like, he silkiest hands in the game. Like, matter of fact, I'd go as far to say is he might be the best ball playing fullback in the comp.
Yeah, we spoke about this the other day, and I was talking to one of my mates, and we sort of settled on, like, he's got better hands than Slater. He's got silkier hands than Slater. Mm. It's literally, I think, Hayne at his absolute best and Latrell just solely for their hands and what they can do.
But, like, right now, I think he's the best ball-playing fullback in the comp. And I know it sounds crazy when you hear it. You're like, what? No. But then you go, show me another fullback as silky as him right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
he's making breaks and throwing, like, 20-metre balls to his winger left to right. And then he'll do it on his right. Like,
and he turns 3-on-3s into 3-on-2s just with the timing of that. That's the key to it all. It's the timing of when he throws the ball. And you can't coach that. You can't teach it. Latrell's just got it.
And like, even the one where he looked like he had a 3-on-2 and it was like, you know what? In a split second, he went from a ball player to a ball runner and just drops the ball like that. And Cody, what about Cody's instincts?
Yeah.
I truly believe there's not many halves that would have
clued on in that
what
moment.
Was happening.
Yeah.
How Cody got from 2 or 3 meters away to right on his hip in a split second, the connection that they have is honestly, you can't put a price on it.
Cody's got a sixth sense for just what's going to happen.
He must have.
And I don't think he could explain it to you.
Yeah.
He just knows where the ball, like, Matty, there was a try last year that you scored in their finals run where I think it was Damien Cook like kicked it infield, and he kicked it infield like 15, 20 metres, and Cody Walker was just there.
Mm.
And I watched on the replay on the wide shot. He got knocked over at the start.
I remember this one.
And he just ran at the sticks. He just knew there was going to be something here. The fullback could come across. They'd kick infield, and he just put himself there.
He literally got knocked to the ground.
Yeah.
Looked like he was injured, and then he just got up, and he just started running towards the stick.
He just made a beeline to no man's land, knowing that's where the ball would end up.
Yeah.
Just on Trell, he's played half the season and he's leading the comp in line break assists.
Fuck.
Mate. And like, that's where I personally think, like, you know, there's the whole, he doesn't run for enough metres, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Like, we need to stop expecting Latrell to be Tedesco. I'm sorry, I love Dylan Edwards. Why doesn't he have the same try assist as Latrell? Like, no, I don't hear anyone going heavy on Dylan Edwards because he doesn't have the same assets as Latrell.
Mm. It's but this for, meter thing,
it's
eh?
It's bullshit.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It's like, because Tedesco is one of the greatest fullbacks we've ever seen. There's no denying that. If you don't mirror that, you're not the in flavour.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a very similar. I remember when Taumalolo became the 13, and if you didn't mirror that, you weren't a 13. And so I think a lot of people are going, look, if you're a fullback and you don't make 250 metres, you're not a good fullback. And I think Latrell, doing what Latrell does, is just flipping the narrative on its head and going, no, there's actually more ways to play it. Because for every metre he doesn't make, he's creating metres for other people. Like, for every metre he doesn't make, he's creating an extra metre for another player to get through and score a try. Like, his line break assist is the best in the comp. So what would you rather, the most metres in the comp or the most line break assists in the comp? There's an argument to be said. I'd rather more line break assists. Again, I'm not saying that he's better than Tedesco right now. I'm just putting it out there.
4 line break assists and 2 try assists against the Penrith Panthers in a loss.
The best defensive team in the comp.
Run with your metres narrative all you want. And like we're actually, me, Matty and Tim were talking last week, like South Sydney, now that I think about it, how you managed to get to that grand final last year with your back three, none of them are noted metre makers.
Mate, like, amazing.
Teams can play differently.
Yeah.
You all don't have to be cookie cutter, we do this exact thing, we copy this team. I love that South Sydney's playing their own game, doing their own thing, and they're being successful.
Yep, agreed. Totally agree. Alex Johnston scores another couple of tries.
Shocked me.
Oh, my God. Look, what I'm a big fan of, though, I thought the forward pack for the Rabbitohs, it's just going from strength to strength. I think Keon and Jai Arrow have been really underrated this year. I think Keon's probably getting a bit of love.
Mm.
I think Jai Arrow's been outstanding this year.
I think he's
been so good for the Rabbitohs. And Jai Arrow's a really weird one. I almost feel like we take for granted what he does. It's kind of like, we don't put him in the same breath as the tippity top of back rowers, but he performs every single week and he delivers every single week, especially this year. I think he's been outstanding. Like, he did 122 metres, 41 tackles. Like, that is amazing.
And I thought last year, Matty, you can probably talk more. I thought in your final series last year, I thought he was your best forward. Like, you guys would have been in trouble without him, I thought, last year.
I think Arrow as well, because you're right, because he did so much work at the Titans, everyone kind of just expected it. But, like, he now plays on an edge and just pulls his socks up and sometimes makes two runs a set, always. Yeah. He's such a hard worker, and he's always making effective meters.
Yeah, it's just weird how he doesn't get – like, well, everyone loves him, but it, you know what I mean? It's just not that love that a lot of people – not love, sorry, that I guess, attention that some of the back rowers get.
But in – like, I think also, like, the game – like, I remember, like 15 years ago when you were watching a game of footy, like, you wouldn't then go to the website and check the stats for the game.
Yeah, it's
whereas people do now, and Jai Arrow's stats are never bad, but they're never as good as they were at the Gold Coast Titans, where he was having to make 60 tackles and 25.
Remember
runs.
When he played the Sharks against the when he was in the Titans, he ran for like 277 meters or some shit.
He'd look up and they lost 28-40. Yeah. Like, fuck. Okay.
It probably can't help as well that, like, as much work as Arrow does, he doesn't score tries, doesn't make line breaks, and then the other back rowers are Cam Murray. Well, Cam Murray's the lock, and Cole Matangi's the other.
And Keelan's like a bit flashier, and I really love what Keelan's done this year. I think he had one error, that I was almost like, I gave him a huge rap last week and he's come out. But at Keon, for me, he actually, it's interesting because after we spoke about him, I think it was last week, they interviewed him or something, and he basically come out and said, like, I've gone from a player that kind of just rocked up and did my job, to I feel like I've got a senior role in this kind of forward pack. It's my job to lead from the front. Totola, solid. I'm really torn on this. I don't think it's bad for the Rabbitohs at all. I don't. But they definitely should have won the game. Mm. They definitely should have won the game. I do think, and look, I know he's going through a really tough time. The thing is anyone that's listened to this podcast since the beginning of the year, we've had our question marks around Paolo. On the edge there. We think that he's a bit green. You can see the talent. He's a big, strong, fast player. He played really good last year in the final series. I thought he was really good. Now, obviously, Thompson's injured, but I do think that Paolo could benefit from maybe a few going back to reserve grade, just getting his confidence back a little bit.
Yep.
Because that's all of that is – all the errors that he made are either confidence or concentration. They're not ability. He's got ability. It's all there for everyone to see. He's really marketable as well. He's a good-looking young kid. He's got everything that you would want from a winger. I just think he might need a little bit more time in New South Wales Cup. Tear it up and then come back. He's still young.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Happens to a lot of guys. So, Bert, I think it'll be really good for him.
Yeah. Get his confidence back. He'll kill it in New South Wales Cup. Bring him back in as he gets a bit older.
Yeah. Tell me, like, Isaiah Tass wouldn't be the same player he is now if he wouldn't have played a heap of Reggies this year.
Yeah, and I think Isaiah Tass has been so good.
Yeah. And
he came in and played terrible that first game.
He was awful. I talked him up all preseason. Yeah. I was devastated the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It just takes time. And I think that Jackson, I think he also set himself a pretty high bar last year.
Yeah, because he went so well.
Yeah.
You know, you got the master coach there and everything like that.
Isn't it crazy that we're talking about this team like this who lost Adam Reynolds, Dane Gagai and Wayne Bennett?
They
should be a tie fire.
It should be a shit fight, but they're getting better and better each week.
Just on Barlow, looking more, I know you guys are talking long term in Reggies, but just looking short term, the only problem is Souths have a bye next week and they're not making the finals. Souths have no more reserve grade this year. So if Jackson Barlow is called upon to play in the finals, his last game is going to be the game he played last week, which could be a problem.
It sucks, but I think unless Isaac Thompson is still injured, I think he's probably still the best option there for them.
It sounded like it was just a one. Have you heard anything about Tom? It sounded like it was a one.
Yeah, there wasn't much talk about it. I didn't actually realise until about Thursday, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Yeah, look, if they've got no one else, give him another crack, get him confident. I have faith in him that he can bounce back, for sure.
Yeah, and I've seen much better players than him have much worse games. Hodjo, for example.
Mate.
Good God.
You could seriously...
Yeah.
Every single great player has had a Barry Crocker. It happens. So, Campbell Graham, solid as always. Fuck, He is just so solid, man. And you know what I feel bad with Campbell Graham is like, I just feel like he's going to go through his whole career never getting the appreciation that he gets. Like, he ran for 166 metres. Like, as a centre, that's tough. And he does that every single week.
Is that his first game back to?
Yeah. What, did he fracture his eye?
His cheekbone.
Cheekbone?
So he's out for like 6 or 8 weeks.
So he's out 6 or 8 weeks. First game back runs for 166 metres. Matter of fact,
he tops their. He came second in their post contact, the entire team, not the backs.
He topped their metres.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He ran for the most meters out of any player in their team. After in his first game back from a broken eye socket.
Fuck.
Oh, was it eye socket or jaw?
Fractured cheekbone.
Cheekbone.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's gutsy. That's so tough. People don't understand the confidence you've got to do that is pretty incredible. Yeah, so great stuff.
And like his edge could have been a nightmare for him too. Mm. Obviously marking up against Isaac Tungo, Kikau, Taylor May. Like that was the edge I thought they were going to go at all night. They actually tend to go more down the other side, which surprised me. But I think you're probably going to give a little bit of credit to Campbell Graham defensively, shoring that edge up.
Yep, for sure. Sorry, just quickly back to the Panthers. Shout out to Liam Martin for that last try. Bombed a try. Arguably could have lost the game for his team. Then he comes and he just puts everything into that run.
Mate, shout out for him for playing the game. I thought he was gone the week before.
Like, I thought he was out for at least 4 weeks.
That was... When I saw him named, I honestly thought, fuck, what does Ivan Cleary think he's doing? Yeah. Who does he think he's fooling here? I know we moved off Penrith too, but Api Kurosawa coming off the bench...
I thought it was
great coaching.
Such good coaching. Smart as anything. So I spoke to Cam Smith about the ankle injury. He said, actually, they've found with a lot of those like rolled ankles, if you get physio into it straight away, apparently it takes away a lot of the pain.
Yeah, right.
So, which I was like, really? He's like, yep, if you get them off, get physio into it straight away, apparently it can be, like it looks a lot worse than it is. Because like watching the Martin one last week, it looked like he friggin' broke it. It's amazing how far science and...
Isn't it crazy? Like when you're walking down the street and your ankle lands in a weird way, my first instinct is, fuck, here goes 5 weeks for me. This is going to be awful. It's crazy how far it's come, yeah.
I also, I know Tass fell off the tackle, but I want to give him a rap. I thought he put everything into that tackle with Martin. Like, I know he got pretty much bumped, but what more could he do there? Maybe go low, but then he could offload? I thought Tass put everything he could into that tackle. Yeah. I don't blame Tass for that. I think that's more field position.
What a nightmare body shape to try and stop from that far.
Oh,
out.
Mate.
Liam Martin.
Literally. One of the worst. So, cracking game. Absolutely cracking game.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.